Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the Kalamcast podcast.
I'm with three people from Podium Magazine. Can you just briefly explain to the audience who you guys are?
So Podium is a multimedia organisation. We are a not-for-profit, volunteer-run youth organisation that basically tries to tackle issues amongst or facing the Muslim community through various multimedia platforms. We have a magazine. We do like media, like online videos and things like that, and we also run events.
So who are you specifically?
So my name's Asil Samak. Yeah, so I'm one of the co-founders of Podium, and I also run the magazine.
I am Eva. I'm one of the co-founders of the magazine, and I'm currently in charge of operations at Podium.
My name is Muntasar. I'm just in the content research team and just the lead of that team. Been part of Podium for 2 years.
Yeah. All right, so how long has Podium been running?
So we started back in Ramadan 2017. So we're going to be nearing our third year anniversary, I guess you could call it, this year, inshallah, Ramadan. And yeah, since then we have expanded dramatically, I guess you could say, from just being a magazine to a multimedia organisation. Yeah, and it's been quite exciting.
Okay. Why did you decide to call the magazine Podium?
So the name Podium actually comes from the Arabic word minbar, which basically the whole sort of thought process behind Podium was that Muslim youth don't really get that many opportunities to stand on the minbar in mosques and, you know, talk about issues affecting them. So basically we've created this, our own minbar through these various platforms that we've sort of put together.
Okay, so I think I've understood from the context that the purpose of the magazine is for the youth. Has that purpose altered or changed over time?
I think it's still a youth magazine. However, we have kind of realized that it's really important that if we are going to tackle issues that affect youth, that we also consult experts. And so if you look into the magazine, it's not just youth that write in the magazine. Whatever topic we choose for that edition, we also consult, you know, people who maybe not considered youth but are experts in that field, but they still talk about the issues affecting the youth within that topic.
So I've got a copy of the first magazine somewhere at home. Has it changed at all since its inception, the concept of Podium?
Well, the magazine itself has, dramatically changed, in my opinion. When we first started, it was just Asil and myself who just tried to, you know, do our own graphic design and do all the editing and all that kind of stuff. And now we have, you know, actual real professional graphic designers who have changed, the whole aesthetic of the magazine itself. Likewise, the content, we have a lot more international contributors. So people who are youth in the UK, for example, or in Canada and the US, submit the articles online. So that gives it a different perspective of these issues, because obviously I think issues nowadays, we live in such a globalized society that the issues affecting us here in Melbourne are quite similar to, you know, around the world as well. So, yeah.
So what are these issues that you're talking about?
So I think it's just there's a plethora of different issues. Obviously, I think they all stem around identity as the main concept. So, you know, from there you can go on with isolation, you can go with mental health, you can go with just navigating society in general with expectations and pressures from society, and your deen as well, losing your religion and doubts, and many.
I think to answer that question, really, has Podium changed? I think what Podium has done is really adapted to the needs of the Muslim youth, and that's really where the expansion sort of came on, and where we really tried hard to listen, listen to what's going on, look into it into a deeper level. It's not just about are there to just discuss and have fun, but we're really trying to attend to the needs. And also at the same time, though, as Asil was mentioning, really listen to our scholars, listen to our academics, listen to the experts in the fields. What are they saying about the same issues that we are facing every day?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, in terms of the content that we do cover, we try to also kind of highlight the taboo topics in the Muslim community. So yes, we might talk about mental health, and there are a lot of organizations out there that might cover mental health, but we try to go really deep into it because these are topics that really need to be talked about in our community.
So one of the things that you've sort of informed us is that interactivity is a very integral part of what it is that you're trying to do. How important is it for you as a publication?
I think it's one of our values as an organization is innovation. And it's really important for us that if Podium does something, we're what we like to call Podium vibes, something different, something that's not out there. There's no point reinventing the wheel and doing something that's already there. So, and part of that is interaction. You know, we're not just a publication where we go and we seek the writers and we get them to write and it's like, here you go, this is the publication. No, we make sure that we listen to what our audience wants to see in the magazine. And then we try to aim for sort of a 50-50 balance where 50% is writers that we've sought out and 50% is, you know, writers who've actually submitted to us. And that's kind of our aim. That's what we try to achieve because, you know, if we're talking about issues, then we need everyone to write in those.
So I assume that most of your writers are members of the youth itself?
What's your definition of youth?
That's a good question. Like,
yes.
So I suppose we can be as subjective as we want about it.
If we take the Islamic definition of under 40, or if we take...
I like that definition.
Yeah. To be honest, it really depends, really. We can't really say that most of our writers are from the youth because, we have to understand that there are some topics and some questions it's not really fit for just any layman to write about, whether it be youth or older than that. But there are some things that really, it needs to be heard from the voice of the people who are sort of challenged with that particular thing. And so it depends on the nature of the topic that's being discussed or you know, the mode that it's being expressed in.
I was going to say, the key thing is that the writer, despite their age, has that engagement and that interactiveness with youth.
Okay. So in terms of topics, since the brother was alluding to this topic altogether, is there any subject matter that Podium just won't approach?
I wouldn't say there's a topic that Podium wouldn't approach, but obviously we do have our own sort of values and standards and we do operate within religious boundaries. So if we are going to approach a topic and we feel like it's important to approach that topic, we will do it within those boundaries.
Yeah, so it's less about the topic, but more about the way that it's engaged or discussed. Because at the end of the day, like if we say we're Islamic foundation, organization that's based on Islamic and Sunnah principles, wisdom is a huge part of everything that we do. You know, as much passion and creativity that there is in here, as much, you know, voices of suffering that there is in here, whatever we do, it needs to have that element of wisdom. Is it really going to cause benefit or is it, you know, is it going to cause more harm? You know, is it really worth discussing in that particular way? And sometimes so we see something that, okay, this is good, we see where the writer's coming from, but maybe, you know, we need to just change the angle that it's approached in at this particular way, that makes sense.
So that brings us to another interesting point, and that is, what is it that you look for in writers?
So in writers, when we get a submission, for example, we, first of all, that it kind of matches the topic that we have for that edition, but then also we want our writing to be interactive and informed. So depending on the form of writing, if it's a short story, for example, that doesn't have to be as sort of academically informed as other types of writing, but that it kind of does have the foundations of whatever facts, they are accurate. That's like probably number one thing, like Islamically accurate, factually accurate, so on. And that the writing is interactive. We do have a group of editors. So if the standard of writing is not sort of 100%, you know, your typical thing that we would publish, we would get the writer to work with the editors to get it up to standard in terms of grammar and structure. So that's not a concern, but it's more just making sure that it's factually and Islamically accurate.
Yeah. So how many writers do you have working for you?
I think that's a difficult question to answer because, like I said before, we do get submissions. And we do have some people that we kind of consistently do go to and ask to write in the magazine, but I wouldn't be able to kind of pinpoint an exact number, you know.
That's understandable because I think the nature of the magazine is basically it's for everyone to have a voice.
That's correct, yeah. And, you know, like sometimes people might be able to write like in our political discourse magazine because that's a theme that they're, you know, really passionate about and it's their field. But, you know, when it was the mental health one, they didn't write for that. So we also try to kind of cater our topics to have a wide variety so that, you know, it caters for all the different passions.
So I assume they're all volunteer writers in that case.
Yes.
How much is Podium influenced by things that are taking place within the community itself? I'm not talking about general things such as, you know, the onslaught of atheism, for example, or something like that, or issues pertaining to politics. I'm talking about the actual community itself that we all live in, the local Muslim community, put it
that way. I think from a content research team, I think it'd be interesting if you talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this, I think it's really a fundamental aspect of like what Podium does. And the moment that we lose touch and the moment we stop being driven by, you know, the needs of the community, I think really is the moment that Podium becomes, it loses its purpose, essentially. So I think we're very largely driven by the needs of the community. But in saying that, we have to really be humble, right? It's not easy. It's not easy to always get discuss every issue that's facing by the majority of the community. It actually takes a lot of effort and time to go and find out what's really happening. Because what's happening in social media is not necessarily always the most relevant thing that's happening within the community. What's happening with one group is not necessarily what's happening with everyone. We have a very diverse community with very diverse needs, and things are changing so fast and so rapidly. And I think as a bunch of volunteers with a lot of full-time jobs and a lot of responsibilities, actually taking the time to find out those things is challenging, but it's a priority in what we do, especially in the content research team.
And just to add to that, I think it's interesting that all of us within the main Podium team come from different, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds, different lifestyles. So the content research team, for example, you've got a youth worker who works specifically just with African youth in the Flemington, North Melbourne area. You've got a sister who studied law and is a journalist with the ABC in New South Wales, for example. You know, you've got people like myself who, you know, grew up, you know, in a very white environment and kind of navigating that, you know, with my African culture. Likewise, you've got Asil who grew up in New Zealand. Like, everyone's got completely different upbringings, and now we're all coming together into, like, you know, the MSA and the university scene and coming into the community, whether it's FAMSI or Mercy Mission or whatever organization. So we've had that interactivity with different community groups and different subsets of the community.
I think in one way that we try to achieve that as well as, you know, being responsive to the needs of the community, what's happening on the ground, is actually asking questions. That helps a lot, whether it's through social media, whether it's whenever we have a massive team gathering and we get people to really think about what they're facing within their own circle of friends. And we tell them, look, you're just a volunteer today, but you're probably representing another 100 Muslim youth out there who are like you, who are facing similar challenges to you. And so I think asking is a really, asking that question, you know, what do you think is our biggest challenge around this theme of identity? What do you think is the biggest challenge around this theme of political discourse? And it's amazing to see, like, within just our tiny circle, how many, you know, the variety of opinions that you get and the challenges that we get. No, we think this is the priority. No, actually, this is the biggest thing we should discuss. And
So it's interesting to see that even though that there's all this interactivity that is taking place, I'm kind of surprised why print media is still chosen as the form of representing these particular articles that you have. Why not going all completely 100% online?
So when we founded Podium, we was just the magazine. And the reason behind that is because, first of all, like, I'm really passionate about the concept of, you know, I think it's important for us as Muslim youth to pick up a book and read it. You know, this kind of idea that we just scroll through social media and that's where we get our news and that's where we get our information, it's not enough. It's very, very shallow. So one aspect of that is just that we're trying to kind of revive the whole concept of reading and really kind of looking into in depth into topics and not just, you know, browsing the web. But then also we do realize that not everybody is, like, that doesn't cater for everyone. Not everyone would like to read. And that's why Podium did expand over sort of the past year or so, where we did kind of grow into also having the events branch and also the media branch. And that was to cater for those who are not really into print media. The events are to bring people into the one place. And we kind of have, like, open mics and we have workshops and we do conferences and all that kind of stuff. It's still around the same topics that we cover in the magazine, still with the same goals. And media, same thing. So it's all, like, you know, online visual media, videos, short films, all that kind of thing, to also cater for those who maybe being visual is more appealing for them.
Have you ever thought about other forms of content development, like YouTube or, you know, I don't know what else there is?
Podcasts, yes, we have. And like, there are plans in the future, inshallah, to kind of, you know, like, our online sort of media team to grow more on YouTube, for example, maybe potentially opening a podcast, whatever it might be. But we're just slowly growing, slowly expanding, and kind of working within our skill set as well.
I Just to add to the magazine, the purpose of the magazine as well, that I think is, this is a personal reason, I'm maybe not representing the whole organization, but I find that the magazine, there's something very authentic and like reminds us about our roots always, and sort of as far and wide as Podium is going to, inshallah, expand, you know, and as much impact it's going to have, the magazine always is sort of the backbone of the organization. And really a lot of things spring from that, you know, like topics that are discussed within that magazine, sort of the videos, and not all the time, but sort of match what comes in the magazine. The events also come there. The discussion starts with that written text, you know, in so many ways. And I really do agree with the Silas, the revival of reading, right? Sitting down and just reading, you know, this is where things begin, you know, this is where revelation began.
I'll just add to that as well, that, you know, having a publication like, let's say, for example, Political Discourse, having something that's there and it's in print and you have it in your home, it's something you can always revisit, something you can always look back on. Remember, oh, I read this article, you know, it's there on my shelf, I can pick it up, revisit it, get inspired again by it, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas sometimes when it's online, it's not as accessible to kind of go back to it. It
gets lost faster. And I think even just from a, like, a contributing or contributor's point of view, you know, the fact that they have that magazine and they see their name and their photography or their article in print, it's way different to getting it posted on Facebook and then, you know, you get your likes and then it's forgotten about. And likewise, because our magazines, you know, the cover art is a really integral part of it. I have it displayed in my home because of the way that they look. And so when I have people coming over, and sometimes people who have done the cover art are people that I know or are my friends, and they can see it and they can say, that's, you know, that's my art. So it's different feeling.
But just to go back to your question, I mean, how is Podium going to expand into, you know, different deliveries and different mediums. I think the media team are really, I'm very, very fascinated by them, like that division and the work that they produce. It's actually it has its own way of, again, connecting with people and, you know, reaching people, and they really do a fantastic job. So, like, and I think going on YouTube and going on you know, different platforms is really just in the near future. Like, I see it happening. It's just the, you know, how fast that they're evolving in particular, and the things that they're producing is really something that is really worth appreciating, I think, in that sense as well.
Yeah, I just realized we haven't actually publicly launched our animation series, but that is something that they're working on at the moment. There is a division that are just making animations and stuff. So
really, really cool.
What kind of animations are you talking about?
To be later. Yeah, we don't want to discuss it.
It's not that deep. It's just too abstract for us to even explain. I don't know.
Well, that brings me to another point, and that is, the art seems to be heavily portrayed within the magazine, whether it's spoken media, whether it's actual artwork or something of the like. Is this by design? Is it an actual intention you had from the very beginning, or just happened organically by itself?
Yeah, I mean, it is intentional to have, because, you know, a person can express themselves in so many different ways. Writing is one of those ways. Speaking is one of those ways. But artists, I feel, in the Muslim community, and we feel in Podium, artists in the Muslim community, they're kind of pushed aside, forgotten, not really, you know, given the light that they deserve. And it is an intentional thing that Podium does try to bring this artwork and bring these artists to the forefront. When we say, like, amplifying the voices of Muslim youth, the format of that voice is not up to us. It's up to, you know, our targets, our audience, the Muslim youth. If your voice is through photography, then great, we will publish your photography. If your voice is through, you know, this beautiful pastel art, then we will publish that too.
Is there a process for choosing the actual covers? Because I really like a lot of the covers that you guys have. I think even the first one, the first cover is quite memorable. It's just got a brother and sister, and they're facing the opposite direction, as though they're angry with each other. But I remember you explained, I think during the opening launch, as to why that was portrayed in such a way. Is there an actual process as to how you guys choose the covers?
Yeah, so we do. We open it up for submissions, and then we just, you know, kind of go through them, and whichever one resonates the most with us, or because when you submit your art, you also submit a brief explanation of, you know, how it relates to the theme and what, you know, your objective was in creating this art. And so we use that, and then we just kind of look at it from a design perspective. And the good thing is that we always do include everyone's art. So if you submitted something for cover art and it didn't make it, you know, on the front page, we do still include it, like, in the magazine itself.
And I guess part of the process as well, like Eva said earlier, that, you know, we want this magazine to be something that kind of can be displayed. It's, yeah, a beautiful art piece, right? And it's something that we do look for in the cover art specifically, that it's kind of like, I don't know if majestic is the right word, but like something that you can kind of look at and you keep looking at and you keep looking at and you notice different things about it. And it makes you reflect on that theme. You know, that's the most thing that we look for, that it's something that will really capture your mind and really make you think about the theme of that edition.
Also, you seem to have a couple of live events here and there, with some performances, spoken word, poetry and the like. Is there a conscious effort in order to produce actual performers as well? What's the thinking behind these live events?
So, you know, like Montosa was saying earlier, that, you know, this magazine is the backbone of the organisation, but that just really relies on the writing side of things. So we try and bring some of the spoken word and some of the poetry that is submitted in the magazine to life by allowing the authors or the performers to come on stage and actually perform the piece. Likewise, you know, story sharing and you know, whatever other mediums they want to do, it just gives them a different type of platform for them to discuss.
Another purpose of these live events is really to get people together, to get brothers and sisters, you know, together. You meet people and you connect with the same passion, the same, you know, resonance, you network as well. So it does have that element of, you know, you produce these, you know, performers who are expressing really, you know, their voice for the sake of Allah, you know what I mean? They're like, I've seen some amazing things come out of there from really young, subhanAllah, poets. They come out and they give something that sticks with me better than a reminder that I heard over and over again. So it does have that element of connectivity, because a magazine, the magazine is good, the videos are good, but at the end of the day, like, we're humans, we're social creatures, you know, we need to be there and connect to each other for the sake of Allah, and those live events really have that element too.
And sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's also, it's important to give them that opportunity. For a lot of them, they're not going to have the confidence to go to some, you know, slamadam dama ding dong, whatever they call those open mics. That's what it's called, right? Slamadam ding. Anyways.
I don't know what it's called.
Like, there's not many open mics available out there for quote unquote amateurs or people who are not professional spoken word artists, whatever that means. So this is just meant to be a judgment-free space where you have people as young as, you know, 12, as young as 7, as old, doesn't matter. You just come and you just share your piece, and, you know, it's just a safe space.
In an Islamic environment, like,
of course,
you know, there's no, I don't know any, there's not that many sort of gatherings, you know.
Open mics especially, that was part of, yeah.
I'm noticing that the brothers aren't representing as much in the spoken word events or the live events or even in some of the article writing. So what's going on with the brothers?
I don't know. It's a good question.
So you're answering on behalf of all the brothers.
Yeah, I think what it is really is, a lot of the times people don't understand brothers don't understand the purpose behind Podium or what we're really trying to do in a deeper level. Sometimes they get sidetracked by the beauty of the magazine and the beauty of the, you know, what's happening all around, and they think, oh, this is a sisters event. But if they just took the time to listen and understand, like, the topics that we're unpacking and the issues that we're really trying to uncover, that sometimes maybe that's another way, when a brother hears, okay, understand why this is happening and what's and the importance of it, it's more likely that our brother will connect to it. So sometimes maybe they get, I think it's misconceptions really, that this podium is just like a, you know, a sister's kind of thing or, you know, whatever misconception that people may have.
I think it's also like, I remember when we first started, you know, a brother tried to give me some advice. He was really impressed by the magazine, but he was like, you know, from a business perspective, this has potential to be a huge sisters initiative and, you know, try and make it something that's like a sisters magazine. And I was like, it's not for sisters. It's not a sisters magazine. It's, you know, just because, you know, Asil and I were the co-founders and we happen to be sisters, maybe, you know, that's the impression people got. But I think in general, our community thinks that when it comes to speaking about issues and having a voice that's like more of a quote-unquote, like, feminist kind of movement. And so I think it took a while for us to bring some brothers in and try and change that narrative.
I just want to also add that, unfortunately, in the Muslim community, there is this kind of thinking that being creative, being artistic, poetry, things like that, these are all female things. That's not the case. And it's very clearly not the case. If you notice, like, sort of, if you look at our events, if you look at our magazine, if you look at, you know, whatever we do in the last year, the number of males who've kind of come out and participated and who've, like, really started to engage is increasing. And it's because, like, it does take time to kind of go against the wave and be like, no, this is for everyone. This is not just for one gender, you know? And also the kind of the idea that it's mixed as well. Like, we do have, like, sisters, we've had sisters only events where it's a safe space for sisters, but, you know, it's mixed at the end of the day, the open mics and whatever. But like Muntasir said, we do it in the most, you know, Islamic way we can, and we try to stick to those boundaries.
And yeah, I think, and maybe like there were a few sort of sisters only events that really connected with sisters and really worked for the sisters. And I think this is an area for Podium as well to start thinking that some things that maybe will be really good for sisters, not so good for brothers. You know what I mean? And maybe there are some things that brothers only events will be very beneficial for brothers. Because at the end of the day, maybe we're less expressive sometimes, maybe less willing to go on a stage and, you know, say a poem, maybe. But doesn't mean that we don't like poetry, for example, right? That's just, it's hard to really generalize in everyone.
So you spoke earlier about misconceptions. Have there been any controversies at all? Has Podium courted any kind of controversy in the past due to an article that was written?
Just give us a moment to think about that.
So I'll take that as a no, maybe.
I can't really think of like one article that would have been controversial, but we do have opinion pieces that people might not 100% agree with, but like at the end of the day, it's an opinion piece and it might spark debate, and that's okay. Like, it's not controversial. We haven't had like issues, if that makes sense.
What have your most popular articles been in the past?
Surprisingly, a lot of the anonymous articles have been really popular. So kind of stories. So in Edition 3, for example, there was a piece that was submitted called My Journey Through Mental Health, and it was an anonymous description of someone who was diagnosed with schizophrenia while she was in her second year of university, and, you know, how she navigated that and, you know, the stigma and everything. Likewise, the Dear Older Bro one was the letter that we received. I think that was quite insightful, even from reading it from a female point of view.
Yeah, that is, it's interesting. The articles that I think that end up being the most popular are the ones that are most real.
Yeah.
You know, when people start to have real talk, sincere, and they...
When you say real, what do you actually mean?
I mean, discussing, really, I'm talking about the issues that Muslim youth are struggling with and that they're facing, like, every day, and not really shying away from it. And at the same time, not talking about it superficially, and at the same time, really giving an honest perspective.
And, like, sharing experience,
yeah.
You know? I think it's the reason why it resonates with so many people and people really want to read it. It's like, this is my experience. It's actually real, like... real with the actual definition of the word, you know, it's something that someone's been through, they're writing about it, they're sharing their experience. It doesn't matter who they are, if they submitted it anonymously, it doesn't matter, people don't care. It's just that there's someone else in the Muslim community who's going through this, or, oh my God, this actually happens in our community.
All right, so what is the end game for Podium? Where is Podium going to be in another 10 years, let's say?
That's a deep question.
I don't know if you guys can.
I feel like Podium, what we're headed towards is that we would like to be an international organization, first of all. We're aiming for global influence, and we hope to be a catalyst for change in that Muslim, in the Muslim youth, to revive their confidence, to give them empowerment to speak about the issues that are affecting them in whatever form that they feel really empowers them.
What do you think makes a good writer, in your opinion?
I don't really feel like there is such a thing as a good writer, because at the end of the day, we are wanting to publish the experiences of Muslim youth, no matter how amazing their grammar is. Like, do you know what I mean? I think it's more about sharing stories, and, you know, we do have a balance of people who, you know, are a bit more academic and can write more academic articles, I guess, but we do have a supportive editorial team that do work with the writers, and we don't want to discourage anyone from submitting just because they're not confident in their writing. And part of our, you know, our organization is that we do want to run writing workshops, for example, so that people can, you know, kind of lift their confidence and grow in their writing skills as well.
As we finish off, that was one of my next questions. Mm. And that is, how can someone improve in their writing skills if they wish to do so?
So, as Eva just said, we are hoping to kind of... So we've started sort of an event series called Elevate, where we're aiming to upskill the Muslim community in more than just writing, but writing workshops will be part of them. But then also, I believe, you know... I studied journalism at uni, and if you really want to improve your writing, it's all about practice and, you know, just passing on your writing to other people, getting their opinions, you know, and not being shy that, okay, I want to be a writer, I want to contribute, but, oh, my writing's not good enough. No, like, write and share it, and you'll get feedback, and be open to feedback as well, you know. We all have, you know, space to improve. And if someone's giving you feedback on your writing, then take it and see what you can do with it as well. And just one more thing, I think we want everyone to submit, but the best kind of articles that we do receive is when someone chooses a specific angle. They're a little bit more focused, you know, they're a little bit more, they know what they're trying to get across. When you're writing an article, a story, a poem, whatever it is, first of all, sit down and think, what do I want to achieve from this? Like, what is my end goal from this article or this piece that I'm writing? What do I want the audience to get? When you have a focus, don't worry about your grammar and all that. That's something that you can work on, but just make sure that you're writing for a purpose. You're not just writing.
Okay, final words, inshallah. What's one or two things that you would like to leave the listeners with, inshallah?
I think what I'd like to leave the listeners with is to understand the purpose of Podium. At the end of the day, I really like that question, where do you see Podium, you know, in 10 years? It's like more, where do we see the Muslim youth in 10 years? At the end of the day, we're Muslims who are passionate about the revival of Islam. And we believe that this can be done by connecting with the youth, reaching out to them, giving them, you know, imparting upon them, you know, knowledge through the academic side of the articles, as well as allowing them to express themselves and empower them to do that, and to let them know that they are valued members of this ummah, and that they are critical to the revival of the ummah altogether. And I think see Podium as that platform that can do that, you know, that can really reach out to people and connect to people. And you know, come to us with your ideas. Come to us with your suggestions. At the end of the day, we're very open to that, and we don't do anything except we consult about it for a good 5 or 6 meetings, you know. And so we want not just members of the community who are, you know, passionate about activism or passionate about coming back to Islam and the true Islam. We want also people who are in the community that are, if you just any general member of the public, that you have an idea, you have a passion, maybe there's something that can create big change and create big impact to people. So see, use Podium, and you know.
Any last words from the sisters? The co-founders.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, the way that we have expanded was just from some people who heard about the organization and brought along their own skills. For example, our media team, you know, had our leader Ammar had a passion for creating films, and he came to us and said, you know, this is what I want to do, can I do it with you guys? And so likewise with our events team. So if there is, you know, anyone who you know, does have a passion for any type of art, whether it's in the media, in the multimedia space, or writing or photography or whatever it is, then do reach out to us, and you know, we'll definitely love to facilitate you know, a platform for you.
We believe that everyone has something to give, and you know, everyone has their own special something to give, that you have your own skill, you have something in you that you can use for the purpose of reviving the ummah, and you got to find what that is. And once you do, we're happy to help you either through Podium or just happy to facilitate you, your project or your passion or whatever it might be. But you know, we were just a group of, you know, friends who thought, we have this, we're good at this, let's do something with it. And that's how Podium came about, and everyone can do that.
So I thank you all for attending this particular podcast and participating with this particular episode. And we wish you all the best. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair.